been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is the August 20th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. And it looks like the spillover from the gloomy Fed report yesterday, you know, did they go out of their way to make it seem gloomier than it really is? I don't know, but the market kind of reacted in a negative way yesterday. We took some good gains that we had going on at the time and lost all those gains and then some. And it's spilling over into today with Dow futures right now down about 110 points. NASDAQ futures down 32 points today. After hitting a record there briefly, the S&P also hit a record yesterday briefly, but S&P futures down about 15 points today before the market opens. Russell 2000, small cap, a little bit of a risk-off day. They're down 0.75%. It's all about the close, however, don't forget. Crude oil is down 38 cents. To $42.55. Gold taking it on the chin today, which, you know, it's a risk asset too. Gold is down $22.60 per ounce today to $1,947. Silver down 11 cents, $27.23. Well, I got to believe the bond market's in rally mode a little bit. The 10-year is down to 0.65. We were up around 0.8 not too long ago. So we've seen a little bit of a rally in the bond market, in the U.S. dollar, 10-year at 0.65 this morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, I left late afternoon yesterday. It was before the market closed, a few hours left before the market closed, did a little fishing, and when I came back, I said, what happened to the market? In the interim, the Fed minutes came out, and that sent the market south, and of course, it's spilling over into today's market. Well, we've had this scenario before. Several times here this year where the Fed has painted a gloomy picture. The market initially reacts, and then the market comes storming back. So we're just going to have to ride through this latest Fed minutes that came out, which pulled the rug out from stocks yesterday, sent rates higher. The committee sounded unconvinced about the effectiveness of yield caps. Gold and silver felt the pressure of rates going up yesterday. The financials, they reacted. They want higher rates, but probably not going to get them. But for the most part, the Fed was a downer for the market yesterday. And, of course, that's spilling over to today. Well, we did have Apple top $2 trillion. You'd have to do the math. How long did it take Apple to get to $1 trillion? You know, from the time they went public, I mean, we're talking more than a decade, probably 20-plus years to get to $1 trillion. And how long has it taken them to get that second trillion? A lot less time, I can tell you that. At the first time in the company's history to reach that milestone, thanks to the summer mega cap rally, it took 2 months for the company's value to race to $2 trillion from $1.5 trillion back in June. That's all 2 months to add another half a trillion. Apple's market cap was $348 billion when Tim Cook took the helm on August 24th, 2011. So what is that, a five-bagger, six-bagger since then? The company went public in December 1980 at $22 per share. Its market cap back then was $2 billion. $2 billion. It's added some zeros to its market cap, going from $2 billion to $2 trillion. Okay, there is the math. 26 years. It took 26 years to get to $100 billion. That happened in 2007. Yeah, we're still not even close to a trillion yet. So it hit $100 billion in May 2007, and here we are at $2 trillion. Holy cow. It achieved the $1 trillion mark in 2012. Well, there you go. Gold, sharply lower yesterday. Dollar gained strength after FOMC minutes. That's the Federal Open Market Committee. You always want to watch those, that gang, with their minutes, their surprise yesterday. Well, the good news is they're not going to be raising interest rates anytime soon. And they're going to continue to be the best friend that the market has, because the Fed obviously will be standing pat. Initial jobless claims come in a little bit hotter than expected. We finally got down under a million last Thursday, and now we're back above a million. That's not good. That's going the wrong way. We're at 1.1 million initial jobless claims over the last 4 weeks due to the COVID still plaguing our land. Global stocks declined yet last night after the Fed indicates uncertainty in the economic recovery. Japan down 1%. Hong Kong down 1.5%. China not having a good day, a good evening. It was down 1.3%. Europe down 1.2%, so pretty much the Fed. They threw a bucket of ice on global markets, didn't they? Let's see what else we've got. Well, I noticed a lot of things. Before I went fishing, I looked at about 800 charts, and we did do very well. The bull reds are in here in the Charleston Harbor. We're world famous for bull reds, big redfish. We caught a 25-pound redfish, and I dumped two others in that same size category. And we caught a couple of very large sharks, like 100-pounders in the 4 hours that I was able to get away and do a little fishing in the local harbor. And I just got to tell you, you know, a guide that's on the water every single day, what an advantage he has over me, a weekend warrior. He took us out to the middle of the harbor. I mean, there was no landmarks or anything stopped. He says there's a big hole here where the reds have been hanging out lately. I would have never known that. I would have never, ever stopped in that spot. And sure enough, we cast out our lines using pretty heavy tackle. And, man, it wasn't long before those lines started singing a pretty tune. And then he took us to another spot that I didn't really know harbored those big reds. We hooked a couple more there. Lost them to the structure, though. There's some rocks, rocky bottom there. So we had a real good time in the 4 hours. I caught more fish in those 4 hours than I've caught in the last 4 weeks. And the quality of the fish. You know, he's a guy kind of like me. He says, we can go fish for trout up the river. But right now, the trophy reds are in the harbor. The tarpon are starting to come into the harbor. Let's go after some really prized game fish. You know, it's all catch and release, which I'm all for. But he's after quality and not quantity. I kind of liken that. You can buy an ETF, or we can go into that ETF and get the lunkers, the potential doubles and triples. That's what I'm after. I'm not after market return. We could just buy SPY and be done with it, right? an ETF that tracks the S&P 500. But no, we're going to try to find those holes where the lunkers lie, the Teladocs of the world, the Livongos of the world. That's where I'm hunting and searching. And that's why I spend every day on the waters of the market. He spends every day on the waters of Charleston. Anyways, there's a lot to be said about being in the water every single day and observing the currents, the patterns, the temperatures, the colors. And that's what hopefully leads us to best stocks now. We've done pretty good. You can check out the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. It's jammed full with best stocks now every weekend, and we're starting to work on that newsletter already. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Dow futures down 150. I think I'll go fishing. Goodbye. No. You know what? There may be something out there. We just don't know. I've got about 800 charts to look through here today. Might find something. Might find something that I've been waiting to pull back. You just don't know till you actually get on the water. Well, while I was on the water yesterday of the stock market, I spent several hours, 6-7 hours, looking at charts and news yesterday. The ones that caught my eye here. That overstock, what is going on with that? That thing is just going berserk. It's awfully hard to buy a stock that has gone that far in that short of a time. Just unbelievable. I sent out a tweet that this has got to be the momentum stock of the day, overstock.com, which languished for so many years. And then since COVID, this thing got down to $2.53. And now it's $122 since March. So that one obviously caught my eye yesterday. DQ caught my eye. That's not Dairy Queen. That's the one that I actually own. Daco New Energy, which is a photovoltaic company. In other words, solar. It's a $1.7 billion market cap company. DQ, which has really earned some big money. A lot of earnings, bottom line earnings. The stock hit a new high yesterday. That one definitely caught my eye yesterday. Oh, along with IRTC, that caught my eye. IRTC is a medical device maker, kind of after the order of Dexcom, I guess. They provide digital healthcare services by combining wearable biosensing technology. It has a lot to do with the heart. iRhythm Technologies. That's been on my radar. It had a huge day yesterday, hitting $200 per share. IRTC. I do not own it, but it definitely caught my eye. Wayfair, that thing, I guess, you know, it's probably second to Amazon. Shopify's a little bit different animal. Wayfair, you know, is a little bit more towards the household type of stuff, furniture, whatnot. Wayfair hit a new high yesterday, symbol W. It's one of the WASP stocks, W-A-S-P, WASP. SE caught my eye again yesterday. That's one I featured recently. C Limited, which is a very large Singapore-based internet platform consisting of digital entertainment and e-commerce. That thing's now a $70 billion company. since going public in 2017 at $10 per share. Now it's $150 per share, SE, which I've owned, which I sold a little too quickly. Penn caught my eye yesterday. I see it's getting hit a little bit today. The CEO has got COVID. Penn National Gaming, which also owns this Barstool, which is a competitor to DraftKings, betting on using your app, your iPhone to gamble. Pinterest caught my interest yesterday, P-I-N-S. I don't own Pinterest. I'm waiting for them to figure out how to make a profit. They haven't figured that out yet. They have a lot of revenue, about $1 billion a year in revenue, but nothing in the way of earnings yet. That's a problem. They got to figure that one out. Target was a huge winner yesterday. I don't own Target, but look at that chart. That's about as good a chart as you can get there. Massive breakout in Target on huge, huge volume yesterday. I'll mention one more. Plug Power. Plug. That's the fuel cell maker. It hit a new high yesterday, $13.65. They're making fuel cells now for drones and other things, forklifts, etc. Plug, P-L-U-G. Well, here's some good news. U.S. and China agree to phase one trade talks. You know, they hadn't talked to each other for a long time. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you either. U.S.-China agree to phase one trade talks, says Commerce Ministry. China's Commerce Ministry says trade talks with the United States will happen in the coming days to evaluate progress on the phase one deal that went into effect in February. Well, I've been telling you, neither side wants this deal to fall through. They've spent a lot of time putting it together. And earlier this week, I think it was Mark Meadows who said there was no new high-level trade talks that were on the schedule. But China is now reporting that in the coming days they want to have some trade talks. So, hey, maybe we can make up here. I did see a big Chinese freighter coming into the port yesterday of Charleston carrying goods from China. Boeing gets its first 737 MAX order this year. How about that? The buyer is Poland's Enter Air SA, placed an order for two 737 MAX jets with the option to buy two more. It's the first order for a 737 MAX this year, and it follows more than 400 cancellations. And Boeing stock continues to just be dead in the water. But let's not forget, it got down to $89 per share in March, and now it's $169. It's a double coming out of the market bottom, and it was the stock that really led me to call a market bottom at that time. You can see when it hit 89, 100 looked to me like it was the bottom. That was where the support was, and that ended up not only being the bottom for Boeing, which is a big component of the Dow. It led me to say, with the bottom in Boeing, I think you got a bottom in the Dow. And the rest is history. We've paid a lot of money since then. Well, Apple. You know, they take a big bite. If you've got a product in the Apple store, which I do, I have one of the top-selling financial apps in the Apple store, they take 30% out of my hide, which I think is... I think that's way too much. You know, most people find the app because of my radio show, not for being in the Apple store. And guess what? A lot of other people feel the same way, including Fortnite. When we come back, what's the status of that? Big attack on Apple, trying to get them to lower the cut that they take. from these app developers. Highway robbery, in my opinion. When we come back, we'll talk about them and what's going on at Facebook right now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Because there's something in the air. We got to get and welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we're going to have to really dig today. We're going to have to go down some creeks and tributaries that we don't normally go to try to find something in the market. Maybe we won't find anything. I don't know. You never know till you dig in. But right now the futures are underwater here on this Thursday. Well, it's Fortnite maker Epic Games that's in the current showdown with Apple. 7 years ago, another Epic Games, I can't remember who took them on, and Apple won. That was 7 years ago, however, tracking similar issues. Well, now there's a new judge in town, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers, who took over the Epic Apple case Wednesday from another judge. We'll see. You know, sometimes it's the luck of the judge. But Epic's Fortnite was removed from Apple's App Store and Google's Play Store. Google takes a little less than Apple. I think they take 20 to 25%. Apple takes 30. But Tencent Holdings is a big backer of Fortnite. Tencent's got a little controversy surrounding it right now. We'll see where this goes, whether or not they can beat Apple and help to lower the stipend that Apple takes off of the app developers. Facebook cracks down on content accounts linked to QAnon. The QAnon theory with a new violence policy. After facing flack on its lack of action, Facebook is cracking down on the groups tied to the pro-Trump conspiracy theory, QAnon, banning hundreds of groups and ads linked to the movement. Well, you know what? No, I don't think that's good. I think people should be allowed to express freedom of the press, etc., but that's not the way it is on Facebook and on Twitter. You know, I've talked a lot about the commodity, the rise in commodity prices, and especially wood and lumber. The building material stocks continue to sizzle. Canadian wood producers surge as lumber futures rise by exchange limit. Five of the largest Canadian producers, West Fraser, Norbord, Canfor, Interfor, Canwell Building Materials, all set new 52-week highs in Toronto, driven by new record-high prices for lumber and wood panel products due to the continuing robust demand for renovation and new home markets. Well, and I'm sure it'll show up when you head over to Home Depot to get a couple of 2x6s, a little bit of, 1x4 pine, whatever. I can talk the lingo. Probably the price is going up there. You'll notice a little bit of inflation there. But underlying that, you know, I can remember back around 2003, 2005, when China, there were cranes everywhere in China. The hottest stocks in the market for quite some time were X. That's right, U.S. Steel. And concrete stocks. And rebar stocks. And iron ore stocks. You know what? The market is cyclical. The sectors are cyclical. It's dictated by the conditions in the economy, the conditions in the world. At any given point in time, we have a unique set of conditions. I mean, just look at the world today with the COVID and the impact from that and the huge shift away from mall, which has been going on for quite some time, but it has certainly speeded up here. And all of the virtual stocks, the work from home stocks, the low interest rate environment that we're in right now, it creates a totally different market than we had 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's why it's important to stay on top of what's going on in the world. And that's why I believe it's much better to be an active investor as opposed to just a passive investor. Gee, whatever happens in the world, I'm going to stay with the same exact portfolio. That just doesn't make sense to me, but that's where most people have their money these days, I guess, is in asset allocations. All right, Intel announces a $10 billion accelerated share buyback. I see a lot of articles being written on Intel over there on Seeking Alpha, while AMD is eating Intel's lunch, which brings, you know, to the surface, what kind of investor are you? Do you like to buy the out-of-favor, struggling, contrarian play, or would you rather own the one that's eating its lunch? You know, you can own AMD or you can own Intel. Just compare, overlay the two charts over the last several years. Intel is struggling mightily. It's a terrible chart. But at this level, Intel figures, well, we got nowhere better to put our money than into our own stock. I like to buy that which is flourishing. Firstly, that's my style of investing, and that's what the app points to. Areas of the harbor that are kicking out big fish, as opposed to areas of the harbor that have been known to kick out big fish, but they haven't in the last several years. I'll be a contrarian and try that over there. I've seen a lot of contrarians in the market. They don't seem to do very well buying that which is out of favor versus that which is in favor. But hey, everybody's got their own style of investing. Well, AMC, they're going to start opening some theaters. Finally, you'll be able to go to a theater soon. The company is restricting seating capacity to 30% of the auditorium for now. But there was a big jump in AMC stock yesterday. There's another case of buying that, which is out of favor. Go ahead, be my guest. You can buy the travel and leisure, the hotel, the vacation stocks, the booking online travel stocks, the theaters, that, you know, go ahead. Be my guest. AMC up 7.6% yesterday. Here's another one. Icon, Carl Icahn, takes a 12.8% stake in Xerox. Do you know how far Xerox is behind the times? When at one point in time, it was a major disruptor. Major disruptor, Xerox. But how long ago was that? It's been mired in the $18 range here forever, going nowhere. But Carl Icahn, you know, he thinks he can shake things up over there. And, you know, that's another one. There was a website that followed gurus like Carl Icahn. You can follow billionaires around and buy what they're buying. It was a horrible performing ETF. I added it to the app. I can't remember the symbol of it. I think it's IBBB or iBill or billionaires. iBill. You follow the billionaires. It's done terrible. They didn't get to be billionaires, I know, by making dumb decisions. But it just seemed like in the stock market, by the time you hear a billionaire's bought it, you know, he's already made his money. Copper tops $3 per pound for the first time in more than 2 years. Well, that's a good sign. Copper is a bellwether for the economy. It's used in construction. Shrimp is $10 per pound here in Charleston right now. Copper's $3 per pound. I bought some nice shrimp, local shrimp. You see the shrimp boats right off Charleston bringing in the fresh catch every day. $10 per pound for some nice shrimp. New high for Wayfair after Guggenheim talks up long-term potential. Guggenheim's price target for Wayfair, $360. Where the heck is that stock right now? Wayfair is at $332. I think I'll pass. In the meantime, here's another guy you can follow. You want to buy what Jeffrey Immelt is buying? He didn't make very much money for his shareholders at GE with what he bought. He's buying, he put $1 million into Bloom Energy, BE, which I believe is a fuel cell stock. Yeah, renewable energy, electricity. He sits on the board of directors. He put $1 million in it. So there you go. Follow what GE's former CEO is doing. If you followed him at GE into what he was buying, you didn't do so good. We'll come back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the final segment. Well, you know what? The market, the NASDAQ has just gone positive. I had a hunch it would. The Dow is down 112, but the NASDAQ is now positive by 16. We're positive here at Gunderson Cabell. We're up 0.33%. I'll take it. I thought it was going to be more of a sloppy open than that. And we do have some winners here in the market today. Nothing real big, but overall it all adds up, you know. Well, just a few more I want to talk about here. L Brands. Okay, there's one you can buy if you like to buy out-of-favor stuff, L Brands. It's hitting a new 52-week high with the Robinhood crowd. That stock up 6%. They beat earnings by 67 cents. Never mind that their sales were down 20% quarter over quarter. They beat earnings. L Brands, which is what? Victoria's Secret, Bath and Body Works, The Limited, etc. We got a lithium stock, Society, Quimica y Mineral de Chile, SQM. The lithium stocks have been pretty strong, but not this one, not today. NVIDIA beats by 21 cents. However, well, now it's up. Okay, so I would say NVIDIA's probably turned the NASDAQ around because NVIDIA was down not too long ago. Now it's up $4 per share. NVIDIA beat by 21 cents, and they beat on revenue. Alibaba, let's check in on Alibaba these days. They beat earnings by 14 cents, and they beat on revenue. Alibaba is building a sideways base right now. It's been doing that. It's been consolidating now for about 2 months. It's down about 1%. One of the great growth stocks in the world is Alibaba, but it is stuck in neutral here for quite some time. Okay, I'm going to feature a gold stock. Why not? If it's good enough for Buffett, I should be able to feature one that I own. They reported earnings. Their production guidance was lowered a little bit, but their first half profit rises. The name of the company is Gold Fields, not Goldfinger. Remember that one, Goldfinger? That was, I think, the original James Bond movie. That was the great James Bond. That was Sean Connery. Now, that was good stuff. An Odd Job and all the little cars and all the little tricks the car did. That's the Goldfinger. I remember the James Bond movies. I remember Gold Fields is a South African company engaged in the exploration, extraction of gold in South Africa, Ghana, Australia, and Peru. It's a $10 million market cap company, which I own in my emerging growth portfolio. Over the last 4 quarters, earnings up 900%, earnings up 900%, earnings up 233%, earnings up 233%. That's triple-digit earnings growth over the last 4 quarters. Of course, a lot of that is the rising price of gold. Their sales have been running at about 30% growth. Gold Fields is expected to make $1.17 in earnings next year, and the stock is trading at $12.14. That makes for a forward P.E. ratio of just 11. 11 times forward earnings. When the market's trading at 22 times forward earnings, and the stock is not only trading at a discount to the market, it's expected to continue to grow their earnings by about 34% per year over the next 5 years. So it's also trading at a huge discount to its growth rate. My PEG ratio comes in at 0.32 on Gold Fields, and I have a target price of $26 per share. And it's currently at $12.12. It also pays a dividend yield of 1.3%. Gold Fields GFI is currently ranked in my app number 68 out of 5,315. And you can read my comments down there. I've sent out some tweets on the stock here recently. Those are down at the bottom of the app. When you scroll down, that's also important. It's pulled back a little bit recently, got as high as $14.39, and now it's at $12.13. So we'll make Gold Fields, GFI, our featured stock of the day. Okay, I've already started on the newsletter for tomorrow, just the early framing up of it. I'll be in the water all day today, and if I see anything, if you're a live trading subscriber, you'll hear about it. If I see anything that makes my eyeballs pop out, if I find anything new that looks really interesting, and even more importantly than that, if I make a buy or a sell, Thursdays are usually pretty busy days because I've been watching several all week, and today's kind of decision day, the day prior to the newsletter. So there may be a little activity today in the accounts. And if you'd like to talk to one of our advisors, financial planners / advisors, try to steer you into the portfolios that they think would be appropriate for you, given your current situation and putting our team to work in managing your portfolios instead of a computer robot, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. The guys have been busy. They love talking to people from all over America, from all walks of life. You can also email us at GundersonCapital.com and let us know when a good time to talk is. Your alternative in today's world, manage it yourself. Give it to one of the big wealth management firms with a big, boring asset allocation, or, you know, the big wirehouses where you kind of get the Ciscos of the world. Don't get Cisco. It's up to you. You know what? We offer what we offer. You know what I offer. You know where to find us. 855-611-BESS or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.